And the word in verse 28, but if anyone says to you, if someone says to you, it is a word that is sort of vague in meaning. It's much like if I say, oh, someone came in this morning and turned the air conditioner on before I got here, that's sort of a vague, we don't know who it was. Sort of a vague word. It was that way in Greek as well. It's a very vague word. It's sort of like, just suppose someone, anyone, says to you that meat was offered to idols. Now, Bible commentators are very divided on who this someone might have been. Some say it was a Christian. A Christian says, hey, don't eat that meat steak, Steve. That was offered to idols this morning. So others say, well, it could have been a Christian or an unbeliever. We don't know. Some say, no, this was an unbeliever. Because the language that is used in this context is language that was not normally used of Christians. And that fits in my thinking the whole context of this chapter. They have been invited, according to verse 27, by an unbeliever. Paul has already back in chapter 8 discussed what to do if a believer says something, so why would he repeat himself here? So I think this is most likely an unbeliever who is questioning their actions. You say you're a Christian, but you're getting ready to eat meat that was offered to an idol. Christians don't do that. It could have even been a friendly unbeliever, a neighbor, someone who is your friend, who says, hey, Steve, I know how you folks believe. You're a little bit weird, but that was offered to idols. You may not want to eat it. Whatever their motive was, Paul says, don't eat it for the sake of the unbeliever. You see, unbelievers had certain expectations of Christians. In this case, that they would not eat meat that had been offered to an idol. And can I tell you that today, unbelievers have certain expectations of Christians. This probably hasn't happened to you in a really, really long time. It hasn't happened to me in years, but it has happened. How many of you in your lifetime have had an unbeliever say to you, I didn't think Christians did that? You see, unbelievers have certain expectations of how we will act, how we will believe, what we should do and what we should not do. And according to this passage, we are under, listen to me, you may not agree with me, but I believe the passage teaches this, we are under obligation to act in a way that will not put them off. Don't eat it for conscience sake. Later he says, not your conscience, their conscience. Now the question that Christians were wrestling with, as well as about this meat offered to idols, other questions are in verses 29 and 30. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Those are rhetorical questions. You know what a rhetorical question is? It's a question that the speaker does not expect an answer because the answer is so obvious to everybody. You don't need to put an answer down. Our liberty, he says, why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? Here's the answer. Your liberty as a Christian is judged by another man's conscience, an unbeliever's conscience, because it matters what you do. We can be evil spoken of if I partake with thanks this food that's been offered to idols, if I thank God for it. Why am I evil spoken of? We can be evil spoken of even if we give thanks because they think we're giving thanks for something that is contrary to what we should be doing and what they think matters. So the overarching principle for your life and what you do in life is in verse 31. Therefore, based upon everything I have just said, Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why eating and drinking? Well, because in the context, that's what he's talking about. And secondly, because those are the most common things we do in life. Would you say that verse with me? Okay, all together. Ready? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it how? Do all to the glory of God. That is the overriding principle for the Christian life. Everything you do is to be done for the glory of God. How you live is to be done for the glory of God. Where you live, who you live with, what you do in life, everything is to be done to the glory of God. Our purpose as Christians is to bring glory to God in everything we do, even if it means that we don't do something that is right because it might hurt someone else spiritually. The Christian life is not about right and wrong only. The Christian life is about best and better. We need to be concerned with how people look at us and what they say about us because it matters. Now, Paul, in his discussion, has surfaced two other areas that we need to look at. The second reason that we need to be concerned about what other unbelievers say and think about us is because of the gospel message. Because of the gospel. I think that's what Paul's getting at in these verses. If we do something that unbelievers say a Christian should not do, it can hurt the gospel. Look at verse 32. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Give no offense. Not to the Jews, those are the religious people. Not to the Gentiles, those are the unbelievers. Not to believers, that's the church of God. Why? Because of the gospel. Paul's concern was not what is good for me, not what will benefit me, not what I like, or anything else. His concern was living in a way that gave him opportunities to share the gospel. He says, not seeking my own profit, not seeking what's good for me, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. If unbelievers think that we are doing things that are wrong, in that case, eating meat offered to idols, in our case, it might be something else. If unbelievers think that we are doing something that is wrong, even if the way they judge our actions is twisted and incorrect, even if what we are doing is not wrong, if they think we are living contrary to the faith that we confess, they will not listen to the gospel, even if we try to share it with them. Do you know what the first thing they're going to do is? They're going to say, yes, but you, I saw you do this. I heard you say that word. How people outside of the faith look at us matters because of the gospel. I don't know when we're ever going to get this in our minds, settled in our minds, but life is not about us. Life is about the gospel. That brings us to the third reason that's very much related to this. The third reason is important that it matters what people think about us is it matters because of your testimony. You see, as a Christian, your testimony matters. In fact, in one sense, your testimony is all you have. That's it. Your testimony is all that you have. And when that's gone, you don't have anything left. And if you were doing things that unbelievers think Christians should not do, then your testimony suffers. That's why Paul says in verse 33, and don't mistake this verse, I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. I please all men in all things. He wasn't saying, I'm going to do something wrong just so you're happy about it, just so you, to please you. He's really talking about his testimony. Within the boundary of the Word of God, Paul says, I will do whatever I can do to maintain my testimony so I can share Christ with them. Too many times, our attitude, even as Christians, is, I'll do what I want to do, and everybody else can just get over it. Can I tell you, we're the ones that need to get over it? Not everybody else. We need to change our behavior so our testimony doesn't suffer, because if our testimony suffers, the gospel of Jesus Christ suffers. And in this series, we're going to look at some areas where our faith comes into conflict with our culture. And as a result of those conflicts, people outside the faith look at us in certain ways. Ways that may not be true. Ways that maybe we didn't intend. And how they look at us can stop them from listening when we talk about Jesus. We're going to look at things like Christians are seen as intolerant, and Christians are seen as hypocrites, and Christians are seen in many other ways, and it matters. I spent all morning on this because I want you to understand that how unsaved people, people outside of the church, people outside of the faith, look at us, and that it matters how they see us. It's not just their problem. It is our problem because we want them to know about Jesus. We want them to know Jesus the way we know Jesus. Listen, they are spiritually dead, Paul says, in their trespasses and sins. You can't expect a dead person to want to love the Word of God. You can't expect a dead person to want to, someone who's spiritually dead, to want to love Jesus. They don't. Get over it, folks. We've got to live in a way that will attract them to Jesus. So they'll say, I want what Steve has. Here's what I want you to remember this morning. Just this. It's important how unsaved people view us because of what the Bible says. It is important how unsaved people look at us because of the gospel. It is important how unsaved people look at us because of our testimony. And if I can just get you to believe that, if I can just get that imprinted in your mind, then what we say over the coming weeks is going to make a lot more sense to you, and you will be ready to accept it. It matters. We have for too long as Christians thought that it doesn't matter what unsaved people say about us because they're wrong. It matters. It mattered in Corinth, and it matters in Berks County. Let's pray. Father, these things matter. They matter greatly, how unsaved people look at us and what they say about us and how they label us and what they think about us. And we've gone along in the Christian life and in the church for so long saying, well, if we can get them saved, then how they look at us will change. But how they look at us is often a hindrance to their listening to the gospel. And they say, no, Christians are intolerant. I don't want to be one of them. Christians are hypocrites. I don't want to be like them. And the problem is ours, it's not them. So, Lord, help us as we take on this study, as we launch out into this study, help us to understand the things that we need to do to change how people look at us, to change how they think about us, to change how they label us for the gospel's sake, for our testimony's sake. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Men have taken the offering.